Let me invite Phil and Debbie and Adam and Towery and Mark and Kelly to come up on stage if we could. We're just going to give a few quick testimonies from them. All right. Keith, we'll start down here with Phil and Debbie. Phil, kind of tell me, why did you guys choose to participate in a home group?
Well, we first got involved in home groups about 25 years ago. We were in our first home group, and I won't give you the 25-year history since then, but we were 32 at the time, and there were 8 people in that home group, and we really learned how special it is to study God's Word with the same people every week in a home group setting. Since then, we've been involved in numerous home groups, and we've never had a bad experience. And so when Cottonwood Creek introduced the Transform series, we jumped at the opportunity to get involved.
So home groups were not new to you as believers. Y'all had been doing this for a long time.
We had been, but we started out young, and we weren't in leadership. And we were learning from people who had been down the road before. And so it's just become a special place for us to be involved in home groups.
Well, how did you got a home group together. Did you hand pick them all? Did they sign up? How did you end up with the home group of people, the group that came over to your house?
We used the open sign up in the foyer you just talked about. And so we didn't know who we were going to get. It's kind of a little bit scary, but I'm sure they were just as scared as we were.
Yeah.
And on that first night, we met 8 people we'd never met before. And some of them had met people they had never met before. And so as we went through the 7 weeks, we shared care and concern for each other. We experienced God's presence every week. And we saw God do some amazing things through the things we were praying about for each other.
Amen. Now, Transformed is over. Do y'all have any plans for the coming weeks or on down the road with your
Yeah, well, we've definitely started making good friends. And we've decided as a group we're going to continue to meet, nurture those friendships, and continue to study God's Word and support each other.
Amen. All right, thanks so much. Let's give them a hand if we would. Next is Mark and Kelly. They went through the open sign up and registration out here in the worship in the atrium. Mark, tell us how you and Kelly chose your home group. Or first of all, why did you guys choose to do home groups?
Well, you know, as we here at Cottonwood Creek always say that you're never alone at Cottonwood Creek. Well, we kind of took that to heart last spring and said, well, you're never alone being a neighbor of us Christians. So we wanted to feel the same way. So last spring, we started a Fellowship Friday in our neighborhood with our cul-de-sac. And it was just simply Fellowship Friday, come over, we're going to talk about the Lord, we're going to talk about all kinds of subject matter, whatever it could be. And that's how it got started last year. So when Transformation came up, it was very easy for us. I'm like, Justin, really? This is easy. I just filled out. I wrote down all 10 names. I knew all the people that were going to be, and I just wrote it down. Here you go. I'm done. And turned in my form. He's like, okay. So our Transformation home group was exclusively from our neighborhood. So it was our household plus 4 other households in our neighborhood.
Amen. So it was kind of an outreach.
It was outreach. Just a moment ago when you asked the question, how many people did you not meet? We didn't get to raise our hand because we knew them all.
Yeah, you had already been down that path, which is a great challenge for us as we go forward. Now, you guys are also in a Sunday morning life group as well. And the neat thing is I heard that your life group in particular, and remember, we were talking about 7 key areas of life, but the one I want to talk to you about, one was physical health. Your life group made a commitment to do what?
Well, first off, our leader in the class and myself, we got together and started talking about this because I've really felt compelled to get people motivated. After one of the things you said, it's like, are we really ready as God's people to go serve God if He calls us today? If He says go today, are we really ready? And I was talking with Russell about this, and Russell Freeman was saying, you know, Mark, we should really start to do something. Maybe we should lose the weight of a man. I want a goal of 200 pounds. Well, you know, 200 pounds wasn't quite enough to be the weight of a man in our life group. So it's Now, the goal that we actually signed up for was not the real goal of the average weight of a man in our class, but 283 pounds is what we've signed up for as a class to lose. And so far, we're about 36% of the way there, and we're about 30% of the way through the transformation progress. So we're certainly on track.
Well, good. So y'all are actually collectively going to lose a man. You're not going to pick one and lose
him. Yeah, we're not going to be voted out. That's the 283 pounds. You're gone.
There you go. Thank you so much. Give them a hand if you would. This is Adam and Towery as well. Now, Adam, what are you accused of around here?
Well, from quite a bit of the congregation, I'm accused of being your doppelganger.
Pretty handsome together, aren't we? Separated at birth. Tell us why you guys chose to do home groups.
Well, we transplanted here about 3.5 years ago from Oklahoma City, and I had much more flexible schedule there where I could have been I was involved in Rotary and heavily involved with the church. And since we've been here, I'm on call all the time. In fact, my phone's ringing right now in my back pocket, so I'm lucky to be here right
here,
now.
I'll answer it.
Yeah.
God's crazy.
So Sundays are tough for me to get here quite often, and we first started with the Blackaby Experiencing God with Dave and Sue Marsh over at the house, and that was just fantastic. We did it on Monday nights, and that works for my schedule a lot better. There's a few nights that I miss, and we wanted to continue on with the transformation, and it's just been fantastic.
And so you opened your home. How did you get the people that came into your home?
Again, we started with the sign-up booth outside and went from there. We had, Rick Washburn and his family. He's led us, which has been great. Does a great job. And most of the rest of our group are folks that we didn't know and that we got to know and learn their walk of faith and just pray and give praise for each other, and it's been fantastic.
Amen. Towery, I know, has home groups changed you guys, your spiritual growth, your experiences together, what?
Yeah, it really has. As a wife who does have a husband with a demanding career, I find myself taking on many leadership roles, which is a blessing. I was able to get connected through the women's Bible studies and my daughter through the Awanas program, but there was a longing to be connected as a family unit, and the home group really has truly allowed our family to get connected to Cottonwood Creek, feel that sense of community, and meet other families that have the same beliefs and the same strong value of the Christian faith.
Amen.
And so it's been a true blessing, and I feel that our family has transformed through the studies, the transformation campaign, the Huckabee study, involved in the children's ministry, Awanas, and we just really want to live our lives Christ-centered, and I believe that we're able to do that through the support of other Christian believers.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. Let's give them a hand if we could. And so as you think about home groups from here on out, the neat thing is when someone comes, and if you're out here today and you're not connected with a small group, that is an ongoing challenge for you to get connected with a small group, either a Sunday morning life group, either at 8:30, 9:30, or 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings, or one of our home groups. And you can go online, and we now know these 22, and as new home groups are added, you can sign up for one probably very near where you live on a specific time at a specific place as we go along. And so the home group leaders, thank y'all so much. Let's give them a hand and then go. Phil, I want to invite you to come up here with me, if you would. One of the other things that we introduced during our Transformed series was we showed you a video that correlated with the message topic of that week. I want to invite, and I know a lot of them were in the last service and not all of them are here, but if you gave a testimony in a video during Spiritual Growth series, would you come up here? I know some of you are in this service, some were in the other. Come on up, Buck, if you would, and if you gave a testimony testimony. Come on up, and this won't be all of them, but all of these folks that are on stage were willing to be transparent with you and tell you where they were. And if you'll remember over the past few weeks here, that some of these behind me and others that were in the first service gave testimonies related to each and every one of the spiritual growth areas we looked at. Several of them gave testimonies related to spiritual health. Others gave testimonies related to physical health or renewing their mind, mental health or emotional health or relational health or financial health or vocational health or overcoming amazing odds. And as a church, as a pastor, let me first of all tell you thank you. Because it's not an easy thing to stand before your congregation, your group of people, and especially when you've gone through a difficult season in your past, maybe it's in a marriage or in your finances or in relationships, and then God has brought you out of that. Sometimes one of the first things we want to do is forget about it, and then we end up relocating and others don't even know about it. And so we sure don't want to tell them we ever struggled in life, we ever struggled with depression, we ever struggled with weight or financial problems or whatever it is. A lot of times we want everybody to think we've always had it together. Hey, newsflash. None of us have always had it together. How many of you know that? Can you be honest about that? And these folks were willing to step up and say, let us tell you about a season in our marriage when we just about quit. We were putting on the smiley face when we were ready to quit. But God did amazing work. Our finances, we were underwater in our finances. Our physical health, we were way out of control. Or mentally, I was ready to throw in the towel. Or whatever it is. And so these folks behind us gave testimony as well as about twice this many as well that are now serving in one of our Sunday morning life groups. So let's give a hand to all those who had the courage to share their testimony with us. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. There are probably those of you that are constantly sharing your faith or inviting someone that's a neighbor or friend to church, and you wonder, is my invitation ever going to matter? I want to invite you to watch this video testimony. Maybe it'll encourage you to keep on.
I'm Joyce Triplett, and I have been coming to Cottonwood Creek just a little over 7 years, almost 8 years. And that's about as long as I've known Michelle. This is my friend Michelle Riddall. A few months back, Michelle came to, we were at work together, and she told me about her son had asked her a question about why they didn't go to church.
Kind of caught me off guard when he did that. Nathan came home from school or daycare, asked me why we didn't go to church, and asked me about God, and I had no idea what to tell him. I didn't really know if I believed or not, or what I believed at that point. And so I didn't want to tell him something that was gonna, put him in the wrong direction. So I didn't really know what to say. And that's when I reached out to Joyce. And
one Saturday afternoon, I got a text, and Michelle said, is the invitation still open for us to come to your church? And they were planning to come the next day.
That was the weekend that I didn't end up coming, but I watched it online. Something did speak to me. I did enjoy the service. So the next weekend, the next Sunday, I asked if we could come with her, me and Nathan, and we did.
And so she delved in and came a couple Sundays and heard the sermon, and then pretty soon Nathan went to his class and they joined us for both hours. She ended up in our small group on Sunday morning.
Tuesday, September the 23rd, I don't know how many weeks we had gone through the series yet, but went to work, had to deal with some more stress. And it got worse. It got to the point that I didn't want to take it anymore. I was tired of it, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And I finally just got up and said, I can't do this, I have to leave. And I left work, I got in my truck, and I didn't really know where I was going. But I ended up at church, and I asked if I could talk to a pastor, and Justin, and I think her name is Julia, sat and talked to me for a very long time, but they were open to just listening and answering my questions. I didn't really know where to go or what to do, but I felt compelled to be here. I felt like I was being drawn here, and I didn't really know how to explain that either. And at one point I just said, I think I'm supposed to give myself to God today. And I told them I had no idea how to do that. But they were so encouraging and just willing to talk to me and answer my questions. And they asked me if I was sure, and I didn't really know. I just, I finally said, if I don't do it now, I'm never gonna do it. If I leave, I'm not gonna do it. I won't come back. And so I said, yeah, let's just do it. I just need to do it. It's just time. And Justin was so patient and helpful, and I didn't know what to say or what to do, and so he led me through prayer and said everything really that was probably in my head and in my heart that day. I just didn't know how to put it into words, but he led me through, and I gave myself up that day, and it was a big relief.
And an answer to prayer, because we'd been praying that Michelle would feel God's moving in her life.
The Transform series, every service has really spoken to me, and I'm kind of stalled a little bit, but I've been going through the devotionals, and I still feel like there is more transformation to go, if you will. So it's definitely ongoing for me, but I'm glad I came at that time. Everything kind of just fell into place.
And the truth is, some of y'all need to be inviting some folks. Y'all need to be that salt and light at the office, in the neighborhood, wherever you are. Just keep inviting, keep encouraging, keep being available. As we move now, I want to invite Joe to make his way up. And during Transformed, we experienced an incredible loss as a church. Joe's wife, Stephanie, passed away, died of cancer. And you'll remember, if you happened to be here that Sunday morning, I mentioned it in a service that I'd met with a man early that morning who had just knocked on my door. Well, that was Joe. And Joe just has an amazing testimony about really something he found after Stephanie passed away, and some of the words in the journal that speak to him, challenge him in the days ahead, but also challenge us each and every day. So, Joe, thanks for being here, buddy. I appreciate it. And man, it's just amazing that you're here. Now, Joe, you and Stephanie had been married. When did she pass away? Tell everybody.
She just passed away this past September the 28th, yeah. 2014. So about approximately 4 weeks ago.
About 4 weeks ago. Now, when did you first meet Stephanie?
I met Stephanie about 20 years ago in Arlington, Texas. She was living with her sister, Kathleen, and I was living with my brother in the same subdivision in Arlington. I was living with my brother, Stan.
So when did you first see her?
She was actually walking the dogs, and she has a passion and loves dogs. And I was recovering from appendix surgery, and so I was in recovery mode. And so I just kind of hang out, working on my motorcycles, and I saw this beautiful girl walking the dogs. And I thought, wow, this girl is absolutely beautiful. And I was kind of shy. I couldn't get enough nerve to talk to her.
Yeah. Well, so you're shy, but you see this beautiful girl. You're sitting there working on your motorcycles, but you do want to meet her, right? What made you go ahead and take that step to meet her?
Well, my older brother, Stan, that I live with, He's a good-looking guy. I mean, this guy is really good-looking, doesn't have a problem talking to women. And I said, I've got to beat him before he talks to her first. And so I'm recovering from surgery, and he's at work. So I had my golden opportunity to start talking to her. So that next day when she was walking the dogs, I seized the moment and joined her on her walk.
So you mean that you kind of orchestrated this whole thing? I didn't know guys did that.
Oh, yeah. She was so beautiful. I said, I've got to get to know this girl. She is so beautiful.
And my guess is you walked right up and said, I love dogs.
Oh, yes, but I didn't have one at the time.
You didn't? Oh, man, Joe, that's good. All right, well, let me, she passed away about a month ago, and you and I have spent some time together over that, and you found, after she passed away, you found a spiritual journal she had been writing in.
Yeah, she left me this journal that I had no idea that she was writing. And throughout the course of our marriage, she's been trying for 20 years to get me to go to church, and I was just burned out. And I went to Catholic school, grade school, Catholic school, and just got burned out. And I really haven't gone to church, with the exception of the past maybe 3 years in Georgia.
Now, in that journal, she leaves some very practical instructions. She tells you how to care for the dogs, how to take care of the house. She leaves some very practical things, right?
Oh, yeah. She left me instructions on everything. How to take care of the dogs, that I've got to walk them every day, how to take care of the house, she told me to even plant flowers in the fall and spring in the front of the house. But she also told me that I need to get in shape, quit eating so much fast food, and I need to limit my sugar intake.
In other words, don't embarrass her, is what she's pretty much saying.
No, yeah, she's wanting me to get transformed.
Now, you, I will tell you, we had a neat experience, because you and I had been talking about this and kind of talking over the phone and sat down and spent some time with the journal on sharing this testimony. And then you kind of threw a little wrench in my plans this week. I got a call from my secretary this week that said, hey, Pastor, I'm not sure that Joe can be here this Sunday because he's in the hospital. What happened there?
Well, I was pretty busy caring for Stephanie. My mother-in-law, Dana, and I, it was a really difficult, challenging task. And so our church group, life group, was incredible. I mean, we had so much food, and there's no way I was letting that food get wasted. So I had a hard time with that, and just brought over tons of food. And I wanted to sign up with Mark Hedrick with the physical transformation, but I couldn't get started. So I just recently, this past Monday, I said, I'm going to start working out. Well, I thought I was 19 again in a 50-year-old body, and I hit it pretty hard and put me into almost kidney failure. My creatine kinase, which is a protein, it's supposed to be 38 to 308, and mine was 71,905. And so it potentially could put you into kidney failure. So they were just washing out my kidneys with IV solution and flushing me out, and I just got out yesterday.
Yeah. And you remember that sweet pastoral phone call you got from me that while you were in the hospital, I said, hey, listen, I don't care how you're doing, just you're going to be here Sunday, right?
I got to be here. And I told the doctor the same. I said, Doc, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
They really weren't, because it was still yesterday, it was in the 41,000, so not even close to 308. I said, Doc, I'll do whatever you need for me to do at home, but I'll keep drinking a gallon, whatever, of water, but I got to get to church on Sunday.
So, all right, very good. And that is not exactly what I said to him. I made sure I knew he was okay. And then I said, well, you're getting out of the hospital, right? Don't mess up my whole sermon. But anyway, what I want to do is, we've shared some testimony, there's very practical things that are in that journal that we won't have you focus on, but she left you complete instructions on how to plant flowers and stuff. But she gave you some spiritual things and spiritual thoughts. Turn over to January. I believe it's January 6th or 15th, that first little place we looked at. Here, I'll help you. Let me hold your Bible there, buddy. And you can pull that around in front of you if you want to just read.
Okay, this is this past January 6th, 2014, which is actually her birthday. Today is my birthday. Not sure if it's my last one. I might be surprised and have several more. Only God knows. I still wish sometimes for a crystal ball. I don't pray for physical healing. I pray for spiritual healing. I want to know God more. I always wonder how he could love me. I've sinned and have been so selfish. I've not honored God with my time or finances. God has been so good to me. Cancer has been a good thing. I realize how much I need God. I've grown so much. I used to treat God like a wishing well. I went to Him only when I needed something. Now I see how wrong I was. We are here to serve God and to help others on their journey. Please, Joseph, always remember that God loves you. He will give you all the strength you need. Just ask Him. Please remember, life won't make sense. Not until we see God will we understand about cancer, poverty, and other bad things that happen. The Bible says God will explain things to us when we see Him in heaven. I'm only able to handle cancer because I know I have God. I don't deserve His love. Please remember, I loved you. You have been the most giving. You have the most giving heart. I always loved how you could see a glass half full. You never dwelled on the negative. You were hopeful and positive when I could not be.
You know, what an amazing testimony as she opens up writing on her birthday of this year, knowing it might be her last, and it turned out to be her last. But in that, she's writing to you and encouraging you spiritually. And again, you had no idea. When did you find the journal?
I found this journal after she passed. I believe it was on that Sunday after I got home. Yeah. And we have a wicker. She has a wicker circular basket right next to her side of the bed. And in there it has her daily devotional, her Bible, and it had this notebook. And I had absolutely no idea that she left this for me. And she, while she was dying, she never told me about it. I knew she was going to leave me some instructions, but I wasn't sure where they were.
You know, and then as we talked and just read and shared, something else jumped out at us was her prayer for you on January 15th and her encouragement to you.
Yes, this is her passage on January the 15th, 2014. I haven't written in a while. Always so tired. I wish the medicine would not make me so tired. I can't even do simple errands. I've been walking the dogs longer. I'm trying to tone up the back of my legs. Here I am dying of cancer and I'm still worried about cellulite. I wish I could get Joseph to read his Bible. I'm still afraid he won't trust God when I die. Please, Joseph, read your Bible and trust God.
Let me just stop you right there. So here she's praying that you read your Bible. I mean, when was the last time you really read your Bible?
I haven't opened my Bible since grade school in Catholic school when I was probably fourth, fifth grade. I haven't touched the Bible. Yeah, we've been going to church for about 3 years in Georgia because my job took me to Georgia. We're from Texas. But here I am going to church and Bible study with Stephanie. And I kind of treated it as like, okay, I went to church, went to life group, check, I'm done. And then I went back to my normal worldly business every day of the week. And I did not connect with God.
Mm-hmm. So now she's praying. Go ahead, you can continue. Right?
I'm still afraid he won't trust God when I die. Please, Joseph, read your Bible and trust God. He is the only one who will give you hope and strength. I get strength from reading the Bible. If people read the Bible, there is no way they can deny God. It is written with beautiful passages. And I'm so thankful to God for you, Joseph, my family, and Debbie Williams. I would love to have the kind of faith Debbie has. And then she wrote Romans chapter 8, 38, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. What a testimony. So she's praying back in January that you would just start reading your Bible. It was a couple of months, I think you said June, that something took place in your life group that caused you to start reading your Bible.
Yeah, my job is in Georgia, so I would fly in each weekend to be with Stephanie as our house was being built. And the life group is incredible. And, you know, I'm in the Russell Freeman, Don Westbach life group class. And he spoke one day about we need to connect with God on a daily basis. Take time to develop your relationship with God on a daily basis. It's not a one-day, weekday deal. You need to do this every day. Even if you start just 30 minutes, have private time with God each and every day. And so as I was getting ready to leave class, Ken Mills, one of the teachers of our class in Russell's absence, I told him, I said, you know what, this really spoke pretty hard to me. I need to start reading the Bible. I said, Ken, I haven't read the Bible in I don't know how long. And so he said, start in John, read all of John, then go to the front of the New Testament, and then go right straight on through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hmm. And so that's what I did. On my way home, I said, Stephanie, this really affected me. His teaching today really said, you know, it really profoundly affected me. And I said, here's what we're gonna do. I'm not going to make this my own personal private time. I said, we're gonna do this together. I'd like to do this together. I'm gonna tuck you into bed, and I'm gonna read the Bible to you each night, and then we'll also say some prayers. And we started that in June, and we got all the way through into the beginning of Luke.
So you read all the way, starting back in June, you would get, and especially as the cancer progressed, you would get her tucker in bed, and then you'd start reading the Bible, something she'd been praying for since January that you didn't even know.
Yeah, she's been praying for this, and I had no idea. I mean, it was a prayer in January, and even prior to that, that she was trying to get me to connect, and I just was lazy with my obedience.
Trying to connect the dots a little bit for you. If you remember what he read back on January the 6th, she said cancer was a good thing. So here you're hearing the good thing. Is it because of that prayer and because of cancer? And she got to that point that you started reading the Bible to her. You read all the way through John. Then you went back, just like Ken had told you to do, read through Matthew and Mark, and you got into Luke. And so in that night, tell us about the night that she passed away. What did you do that night?
Okay, it was Saturday. It was Saturday that I noticed around 2 o'clock in the afternoon Saturday, I noticed her breathing was very labored and heavy, and I knew something was wrong. And I reached out to one of our life group members, and I was in shock a little bit. And she told me, Joseph, it was Wendy Brock. She said, Joseph, hang up with me and call the nurse. Get a nurse over there. I did that. I was in shock. The nurses came over, and I noticed her breathing was very labored and very heavy. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult to bear and to listen. And so her side of the family was in Tyler at the time. They really didn't want to go because we weren't sure where we were at. They didn't want to go, but they had to go to a wedding. And then her stepsister and stepmom were in Waco for a birthday party. But she held out, and she also told some of our church family members in Georgia, as well as sharing with some of our friends here at Cottonwood Creek, she would say, I want to die on the Lord's Day. I want to die on the Lord's Day. And she told Robin, she said, Robin, I want to die on the Lord's Day. And Robin said, well, Stephanie, isn't the Lord's Day every day? And she said, well, you know what I mean. She wanted to pass on the Sabbath. So that night, she held out very strong. She, very hard labored breathing. She waited till everybody got home. Our life group class, a lot of the ladies at our life group class, Pastor Dennis George came. They all got there. They spent time. We prayed and we sang. And then they went home. And then our family showed up. Her family showed up. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. But right prior to 1 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, I realized after trying to care for her that night, I forgot that we didn't read the Bible. And the nurse told me, she said, Joseph, she can hear you. She just can't talk. And so I told her, I said, Steph, I haven't read the Bible to you yet. I said, hold on. Let me go get the Bible. So I ran to the office, my office. I grabbed the Bible, and I opened up to where we left off in Luke. I said, okay, honey, I'm going to start reading to you in Luke, where I left off, Luke 10. And as I was reading Luke 10 to her, her breathing became less labored and more comfortable. There was ease in her breathing. And her mom, Dana, was sitting on the other side of her medical bed, on the bed next to next to her medical bed. And as I was reading into 10, into 11, I was getting ready to finish, and Dana said, Joseph, read Psalms 23. She loves Psalms 23. I said, okay, let me finish up 11, and I'll read it. And as I read Psalms 23, she died.
What an amazing testimony of God's grace in your life. And cancer became a great thing. And after she passed away, I was sitting in my office early Sunday mornings like I'm always doing. And then there was a knock at my door, and there's some crazy guy in pink shoes that was standing there. And why did you decide to come to church that morning?
I couldn't sleep that night, the rest of the morning, early morning. She died at, like I said, 1:10 in the morning. And I couldn't sleep. There's no way. I mean, I was cleaning house. I was just staying busy. I was all over the place. And I said, I got to go to church. I waited till the funeral home came and picked Stephanie up, said goodbye. And I said, I've got to go to church. I don't think they expect me to be there, but I showed up at Life Group because that's what she wanted. Throughout this entire journal, that was her dying wish, was for me to develop a closer relationship with God and not make it a one-day-a-week deal and then check it off on a Sunday, that I did my deal on Sunday. That was her plea, her prayerful plea to me every day. Please, please get close to God, Joseph. Don't turn from Him.
Well, Stephanie certainly wasn't a pastor or a great speaker, but through you today, her testimony has lived on. Through your life of reading God's Word and staying faithful to make sure that church just isn't something you check off on a box each and every day, or just on Sundays, her testimony lives on through you. So, Joe, I want to thank you so much. Let's give Joe a hand. Church family, buddy.
Church family, thank you. I just have one prayer for everybody in this church, especially the men. Please don't do what I did. Please do not wait 30 plus years to start reading your Bible. I challenge you all, as leaders of your household, make your wife and family proud. Tuck your wife into bed each night, please. And start reading scripture. Give God 30 minutes each night before you go to bed. Say a few prayers and have a good night.
Amen. God, what a testimony. You can be seated there where you are. And Joe, thanks for that last challenge, even. And you know, guys, it's one thing for Joe to sit and read in a journal what his wife prayed for, and what she wanted was him to get faithful, stay faithful, keep loving God, don't give up on God. Here's the reality, guys. Some of your wives are sitting right next to you right now, and that's their prayer every night. That's their prayer every night. So my encouragement, regardless of where you've been, start today. So here's when I want to close this celebration today. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 was our theme verse. Do we have that? Can we put it up on the screen? Let's put that on the screen. This is our theme verse all the way. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now notice that first phrase, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Here's what we know. If all you do is spend an hour a week with God, and it's right in here, I will promise you, and you don't read God's Word, spend time with God's people, and do those things that continue to allow transformation to continue to take place in your life, I will promise you it won't be long till you will conform again to the pattern of this world. The world is great at making us conform to it. And you look at, listen to social media, whatever's on the TV, whatever you see on the movie screen, whatever it is, our relationships, they're all about making us conform to the pattern of this world. But to be transformed, we have to daily make a decision to pursue God and not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Transformation in your spiritual health, your physical health, relational health, emotional health, your mental health, whatever it is, your financial health, your vocational health, whatever it is, it doesn't take place at once, but it always has a starting point. Let today be that day. Now, I want to invite everybody, hopefully everybody has their Creek Guide, and I want to leave you with this closing verse. Everybody take out your Creek Guide. We specifically chose this verse to send you away with. It would be your challenging verse. If you open up your Creek Guide to the middle portion, and I open it all the way up, and then if you'll look to the right, you'll see the guest registration all the way to the right. Then just to the left of the guest registration as you open it, how many of you see Week 8 Transformed Prayer? This is our prayer. Right below that transformed prayer, I have given you a transformed scripture. Okay, and this is the one that I want to leave us with as we go. And it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And it says this, this is as we go forward. And let us consider, let us think about it. Let us consider how we can continue to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now listen to this, not giving up. Let's say that together. Not giving up. Not giving up what? Meeting together. That's corporate worship, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. My encouragement to us as a congregation is what we've seen, celebrating the statistics, the new home groups, what's taking place in life groups, Joe's testimony, the testimony of just a couple of our 55 home group leaders, the testimonies that could have gone over and over, the videos that we've seen, that is just the beginning. But Cottonwood, let's don't lose that spiritual momentum. Let's keep it going. Amen.